Good morning, everyone. Okay. Today's daf is daf Chav Beis in Avodah Zarah. Okay, we're a little bit behind. We're in daf Chafalaf Amud Beis. Some mornings you get more schar for learning than others. I guess this would be definitely one of them. Okay. See how well we can function. Yesterday I started with a discussion of rentals and sales of property. We ended off yesterday by quoting the Tosfos on the bottom of the Amud. Right, Tosfos dealt with the issue, the very real issue that we sold and bought and rented properties in the Chutz Laaretz, and that seems to be going against the Gemara's conclusion. The Gemara's conclusion is that you can't even if there's a heter to rent, but you can't rent for residential purposes. You can only rent for storage, and Tosfos pointed out on the bottom of the Amud that's not what we do. We rent, and we rent for residential. And yesterday we had a shortened version, but Tosfos has a number of approaches in terms of how to deal with it. Tosfos quotes in the name of Rav Chaim, again, not Chaim, but Rabbeinu Chaim, one of the Balei Tosfos. He quotes in the name of the Ri, he quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Elchanan. And the last thing we talked about yesterday is that Rabbeinu Elchanan makes a distinction between primary residence versus other, you know, investment properties, if you will. Right, and okay, and that's and Tosfos tries to makes attempts to justify how we don't follow word for word the Gemara. The Gemara continues on the top of the Amud on the Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Tanya Rav Shimon Gamla Omer Lo Yisgur Adam Merchatzol Avikolchav Neshin Nikra Al Shmo. You can't rent out your bathhouse. You have a bathhouse back in the good old days. Again, no indoor plumbing, so people had to go out for a bath, and they went to a bathhouse. And you know, and you paid the bathhouse a couple of whatever they paid back then, a couple of nickels, a couple of dimes, and you took a bath. And they had an attendant, balan, and you know, that's that was bathhouse in the old days. And the problem is that if you subcontract your bathhouse to a non-Jew, so he's going to run the bathhouse, and he'll run it even on Shabbos. And that's not right, because it's your bathhouse. And people know it's your bathhouse. And nobody calls it the subcontractor's bathhouse. It's got your name on it, even if it doesn't literally have your name on it, but proverbially, it has your name on it. So the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you can't do it. And the problem is that he's going to operate business on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that's no good, and you can't do that. Avalakusi my shari. So the Gemara says it would seem that when it comes to a kusi, that would be okay. Kusim, as we've now discussed time and again throughout the Masechta, throughout Shas, really, are Jews. They're a funny kind of Jew. They are transplanted Jews from the town of Kusa, which is hence, that's why they're called Kusim. They converted, the conversion was somewhat of a forced conversion. The Gemara has a machlokas whether or not it's Geri Amos or Geri Arayos. Right now, let's assume they're Jews. Even as Jews, they're funny Jews. Some mitzvahs they do, some mitzvahs they don't do. The mitzvahs they do do very well. The Gemara in Chulin says, Adukin, they, you know, those mitzvahs that they select, they're very firm about. And the mitzvahs they don't select, okay, so not our mitzvah. So the Gemara says, so let's say I subcontracted to a kusi. Ostensibly, that would be okay. Kusim keep Shabbos. So the Gemara says, when it comes to a kusi, you know it's true. He doesn't work on Shabbos, and he doesn't work on Yom Tov. You don't have to worry about that. But he does work on Chol HaMoed. So kusim don't hold of Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is not in the purview of the kusi. Okay. So the Gemara says, the Chol HaMoed aninami avdinan. So the Gemara says, Chol HaMoed, what do you mean? We take a bath on Chol HaMoed. Certain malachas that we permit on Chol HaMoed, right? Rashi says, L'dida namishar l'hachim erchatzos. We also allowed to heat up a bathhouse on Chol HaMoed in order to take a bath. Aval sadeh lo v'kochavim mai shari. So the Gemara says, if we're talking about a field of a novi kochavim, right, as Rashi points out, let's say we're renting it out. Lahasker hechad aleka lamechash lechanias karka kegom bechutz arutz v'afil b'shidikras hashmo lo chash delay. Right. Let's say you rent out your field to a non-Jew. We're talking about a place where you're allowed to rent out your field. Right. Well, let's talk about we're in Chutz La'aretz, well, that's okay. So the Gemara says that would be ostensibly fine. The guy is gonna work it on Shabbos. So what? My time, Arisa Arisa Sir Kaved. So the Gemara says, and the argument behind that is because even though if he works it on Shabbos, people are going to say, oh, he's a sharecropper. Like the non-Jew who's working on it, he's sharecropping. And as a sharecropper, he is entitled to work his portion even if it's on Shabbos. So Mechatz Nami, Ami Arisa Arisa Sey Ka'avid. So the Gemara says, can't you make the same argument by a bathhouse? We said in the beginning of this whole discussion that by a bathhouse, I can't subcontract to a non-Jew because he's going to work it on Shabbos. Can we say that we established some sort of a rhesus relationship where it's sharecropping, where he actually is going to take the Shabbos profits for himself and not for you? So the Gemara says, "Arisa demerchas lo avdi inshi." That's not usually the business arrangement. That's not usually the business model of how bathhouses work. So the Gemara says, although you can make such an argument for a field, you can't make such an argument for a bathhouse. There is an important Tosfos over here. We cannot simply go through it. We don't have the physical time. There's an important Tosfos over here. I guess you would say the first Tosfos on the page. Arisa, Arisa, Seika Avid, and the question of contracting workers to work for you on Shabbos. Not a per day laborer, but rather kablanas. Right, if you contract them to work and to do some sort of job, including building, so it cannot be done on Shabbos. And Sitos is over here for a lengthy discussion and a major machlokus between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. Rabbeinu Tam says it's okay. Right, you could contract people to work and to build for you on Shabbos. The Ri says it's not okay. And it's a full-blown machlokus between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. And Lahalach, by the way, we pass them like the Ri. That we don't contract people to build our properties on Shabbos, right? Rabbeinu Tam, somewhere in here, again, it's a lot of Tosos. So somewhere in here, Rabbeinu Tam did in fact allow shuls to be built on Shabbos, right? Right. Look at the last line of the Tosfos, where he records his own opinion, which is the halachu maskana deshmaita. Last two lines of this Tosfos. Shamina mehachad de kablanos de talosh ena mota ela besoch beso shalvi kochavim. Certain types of kablanos is okay. If contract work to a non-Jew would be okay, but that's only contract work that's done not on your premises, but rather on the premises of the oved kochavim. Aval b'mechuber ena mota ela chutzot tchum aval toch tchum aser. And even on properties, right? If your house is chutzot tchum, that would be okay. But if your house is toch tchum, it would be aser. We give our clothing to a laundromat. You can give it to them even if it's on a Friday afternoon, right? They have to have some time to be able to theoretically clean it on outside of Shabbos. But that's kablanos, and that's kablanos off your premises. That would be fine, right? But to have them do work on your house is not acceptable. Again, Rabbeinu Tam argues, but Tosfos says that's not his conclusion. Okay, back to the Gemara. Tanya, three lines from the bottom of the Amud. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar Lo Yasker Adam Sadeh Lakusi Mimnishi Knikras Hashma. All right, so Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that you cannot rent out property to a kusi. I'm sorry, a field to a kusi, because that field is Nikra Hashma. That's your field. So the kusi is also by Malacha Bechol Shomawid. And you know what the kusim is going to do? He's going to work within a chol hamoed. Again, the kusim pick and choose. So Shabbos Yantav, that they keep. Chol hamoed, eh. And the reason why, just to make it clear, the reason why they say eh, is because it's on the Torah. Right? Kusim are very literal. Without the Torah Shabbat Peh, right? Shabbos is there, Yantav is in Chumash. But chol hamoed, there's no chol hamoed mentioned in Torah. Huh?
They're kind of like...
Kind of, a little bit like that. Right, but it's not, for them it's not philosophical. For them it's just, they have the Torah, and they, Torah Shebechsav, and they keep it, and that's it. So Chol HaMoed, so they work in Chol HaMoed. So if you give your field, you rent out your field to the Kusi, so he's going to work it on Chol HaMoed, and now you're going to be in big trouble. So the Gemara says, Aval v'kochavim, my shari da amre arisa arisa avid, yachi kusi nami. Amre arisa arisa se avid. So the Gemara says, well, look, when it comes to the non-Jew, you can rent out your property, because people understand that the nature of the arrangement is sharecropping, meaning he takes a percentage and you take a percentage. And that which he works on Shabbos, that'll be his percentage. And that which he works not on Shabbos, that'll be your percentage. So the Gemara says, can't you say the same thing regarding the Kusi? Can't you say that you've created some sort of arisa, some sort of sharecropping arrangement? So the Gemara's answer is top of Chavdeza Man Aleph, arisa, Selah, Shemar, and Lazar, Lay, Slay. He doesn't buy into that argument. So the Gemara says, and so according to Rav Shimon Elazar, what's the difference between a non-Jew and a Kusi? Difference goes like this. I rent out property to a non-Jew and I say to him, look, here's my property, right? Here's my land. Do with it what you want, but you can't work with it on Shabbos. Because people assign it to me, and I can't have it. I can't have people working on my properties on Shabbos. So you can't work the land on Shabbos. And if you give him those instructions, Rav Shimon Malaz is of the opinion, he'll listen. Kusi nami amin on vitzayis. So the Gemara says, okay, so why can't you do the same thing with the Kusi? Kusi lo tzayis. So the Gemara says very simply, because look, the Kusi is not going to listen to you. Right? The Amar anag amin atreminach, because the Kusi says, what do you mean? Right? I'm one of you people. I read my Chumash. I know what I can do. I know what I can't do. And you tell him, look, Shabbos, you can't work. He says, I know I can't work on Shabbos. Right? I keep Shabbos. Okay? And you say to him, what about Chol HaMoed? You know, you can't work it on Chol HaMoed also. And they'll look at you and say, what do you mean? I can't work the land on Chol HaMoed. Show me in Chumash where it says anything about Chol HaMoed. Okay, fine. E hachi, my area, mimnei shenikras hashmo, typically mishum lifnei iver lo zitei mechshol. So the Gemara now says, okay, so let's put this all together. I can't lease my properties, my lands, to a kusi, because nikras hashmo, because people know that the land belongs to me, and my land will be worked on Shabbos. If we're talking about a kusi, he's a Jew. Right? We're assuming throughout this whole discussion, a kusi is a Jew. Right? Picks and chooses which mitzvahs he wants to do, but he's a Jew. So you have just violated the Isser of Lifnei Iver. Because what you did is you gave your land, you rented your land to somebody who you know is going to work with it on Chol HaMoed. And so you just violated the Isser of Lifnei Iver. So
if you specifically tell the Kusi not to do it, and he goes into it, why would that be Lifnei Iver?
Right, it's very interesting. He doesn't have to. In other words, but you know he's going to do it, and because you know he's going to do it, even against your instructions, the Gemara puts it under the category of lifnei iver. So chad of od kama. So the Gemara says, point taken. Meaning, you're right. It's nikrei sashmo. Right, there's one issue. Where I guess we'll call it marasayin. I guess that's what we'll label it. It's that it's your property. People know it's your property. It's being worked with on Shabbos, or in this case, in the case of the Kusi, Chol HaMoed. So it's Nikrei Sashmo. That's one. And two, Mishum Lifnei Iver. I'm sorry. Chana Mishum Lifnei Iver, Vod Mimnesh Nikrei Sashmo. Right? And Lifnei Iver, by the way, we'll put that in the front of the list. Because Lifnei Iver is a Nisr Min HaTorah. That's a biblical prohibition. So we'll put Lifnei Iver in the front of the list. And then what we'll do is also Nikrei Sashmo. There's that Marasayin issue. It's your land being worked on Chol HaMoed. Okay, a lot of interesting stuff over here. Look at Tosfos. Look at the second Tosfos on the Amud. Okay, working on Chol HaMoed. Okay, again, there are two issues that we discussed in the Gemara now. Subleasing your properties, your lands to a non-Jew. So the Gemara has either you create an Arisa's partnership, or you told them just simply don't work it on Shabbos. Right? Two opinions in the Gemara in terms of how to handle that. With a Kusi, you can't. Why? Because he's going to work with an Chol HaMoed. Okay? And as the Gemara just concluded, there's two issues. There's an issue of Lifnei Iver, you're aiding and abetting, and two, Nikrei Sashmo. Working on Chol HaMoed, what kind of Isser is that? Yeah. Right. So most Rishonim, not all, but most Rishonim say that working on Chol HaMoed is an Isser Midrabanan. The Isser Malacha is on Shabbos and Yontif. The Isser Malacha is on Chol HaMoed is only Derabbanan, according to most Rishonim, notably Tosfos right here on the page. If that's true, so look at Tosfos. Mikan yesh lehaviraya. In the second Tosfos,
if it's Derabbanan, wouldn't it be Gezer on a Gezerah? If it's Midrabbanan.
What?
In terms of not giving this to Kuti, isn't that a Gezerah and not the Gezerah?
Okay, so wait, so watch. So just drop down about five lines in the Tosfos. Umikan yesh lahavi raya lamasha pirish rabbeinu tam d'shayach lamemar lifnei iver af b'midi d'leis be'isura ela d'rabanan. So now I'm handing over my property, my land, to a kusi. You know he's going to work with an cholamoid. Cholamoid working on cholamoid is an isur d'rabanan, and the Gemara, without flinching, says it's lifnei iver. So Tosfos says, let's just put it all together. So there's lifnei iver on d'rabanans. Okay, and you could have argued. In other words, it's a chiddush on the part of Rabbeinu Tam, but it's a chiddush that really fits into the Gemara. It's not, in other words, it's not. He's not reading anything extra into the Gemara. It's just really the conclusion. But you could have argued. You could have said that when the Torah says don't aid and abet, it means don't aid and abet against all the other prohibitions mentioned here in the Torah. Right, but if it's something rabbinic. Not that it's condoned, not that it's okay, but you didn't violate the Issa d'Araisa of Lifnei Iver, and Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you did. You violate the Issa of Lifnei Iver even under Rabbanan. So it's a big chiddush, and it really does bear out. If you're of the opinion, there are a couple of Rishonim who say that working on Cholamot is an Issa d'Araisa, and there are some who say that, so then you lose your proof over here. But most Rishonim, including Tosfos, says it's an Issa d'Rabbanan. So it is a fair conclusion to come out. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara.
What about
the Iver
of the
Yisrael? Well, in other words, you're not talking about Lifnei Iver. You're talking about...
That's the Chiddush.
But, I mean, isn't
it... It's not a rabbinic
Lifnei Iver. Right, but I think...
You're messing up your neighbor.
Right.
So you can mess up your neighbor...
But my question is no. But my question is that when the Rabbanan say you cannot work on Cholamot, is that a gezera Rabbanan?
No, that's whatever. It's an issur d'Rabbanan. Yeah, I don't know if you want.
Is it a separate category or is it a gezera?
I wouldn't call it a gezera. I'd say it's an issur d'Rabbanan. It's a rabbinic prohibition to do so.
I think he's saying that even if it was a gezera.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would absolutely agree with that. In other words, once the Chachamim say it's Aser, so then now you can't, even in the Torah, you can't steer him into that direction. Right? Because he can't do it. In other words, what the level of prohibition is almost inconsequential. He's not allowed to do that. You're steering him in that direction. You're helping him in that direction. He can't do that, period. It makes sense, but in other words, when you see it on paper and you understand the ramifications, it's just interesting.
What about those malachas that are mutar on cholamoid? Because
right. So in other words, there are things which are mutar on cholamoid, but the kusi doesn't care. In other words, the kusi will work the land, irregardless of any. He won't. In other words, the shulchan aruch that won't interest him.
This applies to a non-observant Jew. This the same.
Right. There is a.
You couldn't rent him with you.
Right, correct. A mummer, so...
It's not because the kusi is gay, has gay, it's just that right. I think that the guy might
not... Right, right. There's a discussion amongst the Acharonim. A long time ago we spoke about this. About a mummer, about somebody who categorically just will not accept Torah and Mitzvot. Is there... for sure it's going to be Lifnei Iver, but what if it's Lifnei Iver, Chad Avad and Nahara? What's if it's like a lesser... For me, lift the Ever. All right, no, not for now. All right. Anyway, Hanu Marakai Dovi Kochavim. Okay, Marakai. I know it sounds like Moroccans. They're not Moroccans. They are the growers of saffron. Right, Rashi. Zore Ginos Karkom. Growers of saffron. Hanu Marakai Dovi Kochavim. Naki B'Shabasa. V'Yisrael B'Chad B'Shabasa. Okay, and what happens is that... They switch off. They trade off. So they work the lands on Shabbos. The non-Jewish spice monitors, whatever they're called, Marakai, let's call them that. And they'll work on Shabbos, and then the Yisrael work on Sunday. And good. And it seems to be such an unbelievably great arrangement. Right? Jew can't work on Shabbos, so they'll work on Sunday. The Marakai work on Shabbos, and is that okay? So at this juncture, at this point. We don't really understand enough about the breakup, the partnership, the division of labor. So it's too early for even for us to express an opinion. But also come into Rava, they go to Rava, Sharaluhu. So and Rava says, yeah, it's fine. Absolutely fine. So the Gemara says, Eisvei Ravina LaRava. So Ravina says to Rava, wait a second. Yisrova bikuchavim shekiblu sade b'shutfus. So if you have a Jew and a non-Jew who have a field, and they are partners over their field, so they are each one 50% shareholder of that field. Lo yomar yisrova bikuchavim tochal kuchav b'shabbos v'ani b'chol. You can the Yisrael cannot say to the non-Jew, look, you'll take the Shabbos profits, the Shabbat portion. I'll take the weekday portion. You can't do that. Now the reason why you can't do that, look at Rashi, Lo Yomar Yisrael. Rashi is right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Tol Ata Chalkecha B'Shabbos Lefisha Nase Shlucho. They have both an equal responsibility to work the land. And the Jew says to the non-Jew, look, you go ahead and you take my half of the responsibility on Shabbos. So essentially what you're doing is you're pointing him as a shliach. So I guess we'll call that, the Gemara doesn't use this terminology, but I guess we'll call it Amir Lakum. Right? You're asking him to, you're telling him to do something for you on Shabbos. Amir la'akum, schar Shabbos.
Why couldn't they just sell back and forth?
Im hisnu mitchila mutter. Im hisnu mitchila, in other words, before receiving the land, they make it tonight. And they say, look, Sunday's my day, Shabbos is your day, the whole day. Right? The whole day of Shabbos is yours, the whole day of Sunday is mine, that would be fine. V'imbal l'chashbon aser. But if they do it after the fact, right, and this is not going on the Tanai, says Rashi. Lava hisnu mitchila kai. Ela milsa ban pe nafshe, Rashi writes. This is an independent clause. Klomar. Im klibu stam v'asu stam. If they just accepted the land and they worked the land, v'ayel b'al v'kochavim b'shabbos, and it just, you know, they figured it out. The non-Jew says, here, you know what, Shabbos, I know, he can't do anything. I'll go to the land. And the Yisrael says, no, I'll do it, I'll do it during the week. V'lo tzivah Yisrael. And there was no instructions given by the Jew to the non-Jew. Uval l'cheshbon l'achar zman l'amar kamen yimei Shabbos natal ta'ata v'ani atol kenegdan yimei achol. And then what you do is you split it up. Oh, how many Shabboses did you have? Good. And I'll take the corresponding weekdays that correspond to your Shabbos. So that's no good. In other words, that you didn't prearrange. You're just separating it afterwards, and now you're taking your gains based on how many Shabbos day he works. That's unacceptable. Okay.
And the same deal is true with the Ovi Kochavim. Is there anything different about these
Ovi Kai? That's exactly the question. So in other words, this is a challenge that Ravina gave to Rava, because Rava just said to the Ovi Kai, it's fine, and Rava's response. Sorry. Rava responded to the question with, it's fine. And Ravina says, what do you mean it's fine? How do you know what happened over there? Did they prearrange it? Did it happen after the fact? What's going on? So when Rava heard all this, so he realized he didn't have enough information in order to really come to a fair conclusion over here. Ichsif. And he was embarrassed. Now, after the embarrassment, he then learned that, oh, they prearranged it. In other words, they made it Tanai, and they said right beforehand, Shabbos is totally the non-Jew's day, and weekday is totally the Jew's day, and they prearranged it, and as we just learned, that's fine. So, but he still was embarrassed because he didn't know that going into his Pesach, he just passed him without the information, and obviously, even though it turned out that he was okay, he was right, but post facto, and, you know, it seems from the Gemara, it just happened to have been from chance that he was right. Rav Gvia mi beksil amar hanu shesile da arla habo v'kochav achos shnei da arla v'yisrael shnei da hetera. Another arrangement, which basically came out to the same idea. Right, the first 3 years of planting, you know, you can't get any benefit from any of the fruit. That's called arla. After that, you can. So again, a Jew and a non-Jew went into a partnership over some sort of shesilim, sprouts, whatever they are, and the arrangement was for the first 3 years it goes for the non-Jew, because the Jew can't eat them. The next 3 years it'll go to the Jew, and it's a great arrangement, and it's the same basic idea. I can't have it for the first 3 years, it's also to me, so you take it. So also coming to Rava, Sharluhu. So they go to Rava, okay, same Rava that we had with the Murakai, and Rava says, it's fine. Osvei Ravina la Rava. So the Gemara says, yeah, but didn't Ravina challenge Rava? L'siyusiyai. So the Gemara says, there was a Tanai that was made beforehand. So, right, as long as there's no shlichus, and as long as you're not doing part of my work, but there was a Tanai, there was an arrangement made beforehand, so that would be fine. Vaha ichsif, the Gemara says, yeah, but Rava, in the first story, so he was embarrassed. It seems from the first story, he didn't know any of this. He didn't know any of the, it makes a difference whether you make an arrangement or whether you didn't make an arrangement. So the Gemara says here, lo hayudvar me'olam. When the first story was presented to us, it wasn't presented to us correctly. It didn't happen that way, says the Gemara. He knew the difference. He understood the difference. And lo hayudvar me'olam. The Gemara says, I just simply reject the way you originally presented the story to us. Okay. Ibar lu'ustam amai. Okay. We have now basically outlined the following. Okay? If you want to make a partnership between a Jew and a non-Jew, so if you prearrange and you say, well, let's deal with the Shabbos weekday example, because that's just the easiest. And you say, look, Shabbos, that's totally your day. Right? And all profits on Shabbos that go to you. Okay? And I'll take a weekday. And you could do that, and that would make it okay. If, however, you go after the fact and you start cutting it up, ooh, how many Shabboses did you have? And I'll take corresponding. That's not acceptable. I guess we'll call that it's somewhere between Amir Lakum and Schar Shabbos. I'm not really sure what the proper terminology is. From Rashi, Rashi keeps going back to Shlichus. He's doing your job. So Shlichus sounds like Amir Lakum. But whatever the case is, in other words, that's unacceptable. Stam Amai. What if you go into it with no prearrangement? Right? Is it, can we say that there is a understanding in every type of partnership, especially when you're working 7 days a week, that the guy will take Shabbos and the Jew will take the other, you know, another day other than Shabbos? So stam amai tashma im hisnu mitzchila mutar hastam asar. Okay, so the Gemara says, I think I can make a very simple diuk. The Gemara says, the Braisa says that if you make it Tanai beforehand, then it's okay. Sounds like if you don't make it Tanai beforehand, it's not okay. Ema Seifa, the Gemara says, Imbao Lecheshbon Asar. The Gemara says, Imbao Lecheshbon, if they do a Cheshbon, meaning the Jew acknowledges that he's getting something in lieu for Shabbos, so that's not okay. But Hastama, but if you don't say anything, Mutter, it would sound like it's Mutter, Elamehaleke Elamishalena. So the Gemara says from the Braisa, it's really not clear. In other words, if nothing said, meaning we know if we make it tonight to begin with, that's fine. 50-50. If the Jew says afterwards, let's swap out weekday for Shabbos, that's not fine. What if they say nothing? And what if just inherently they understand the non-Jew will take Shabbos and the Jew will take Shabbos? So Lekel Mishra means the Gemara says, I don't know. He can't learn anything from the Braisa. So awkwardly, the Gemara ends off inconclusive on that issue. Okay, Hajan Alach Lifnei Ideim, and the Perek comes to an end. Okay, good. All right, that is the first Perek of Avodah Zarah. Beginning of the second Perek of Avodah Zarah for us is going to be a lot of review because most of this discussion we've already seen earlier in the Masechta. And here we go. You can't park your horse at a non-Jewish stable. The Ovdei Kochavim at that time were immersed in Mishkav Behema and bestiality, and you know, and we saw a lot of these gemaras already in the Masechta, and here we see the Mishnah, and it's awkward because you know in our culture that we lived in, as depraved as some of it is. But bestiality is not on,
it's on the radar.
Right, it's not on the radar like we're going to be discussing over here. Right, the Harishonim who say that, you know, a lot of these halachas just get lost in the fact, because we don't have it. It's not, Mishkav Behema is not as it's being described over here. You'll see it's going to be described in terms of just like they lust for it, they desire for it, and it's obviously not that way anymore. But the Mishnah says you can't park your horse in front of a stable of a non-Jew because it's lifnei iver, right? The ben Noach cannot have relations with an animal. It's one of the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach, and you're going to just simply dangle your horse in front of the Ovdei Kochavim, and you just violated the Esser of Lifnei Iver. That's Rashi says it straight on the Mishnah. Back to the Mishnah. Also, a woman cannot seclude herself with them because of erva, because of arayos. And velo yisyachid adam imehem imeshachashinim. And also to be alone with them, there's another issue of shvichos damim. Right, we almost got all of the big three covered. Right, gilu aray shvichos damim. I mean, they are over the avodah zarah, so. The big three. Avriminu. Look at the top of the next amud. We start with the Gemara. Lochim mehem behim lekarban ve'in choshishin lo mishum rova, velo mishum nirva, velo mishum muksa, velo mishum nevad. Okay? You want to bring a karban to the base of Mikdash, and you want to go shopping, you can go to the Ovei Kochavim. You can buy your animal from the Ovei Kochavim. What's potential problems? Well, maybe the animal will set aside for avodah zarah. The Brisa says, don't worry about that. Okay? Not your issue. Not for you to worry about. Maybe the animal had relations. Now, an animal that was nirva or rovea, if an animal was involved in an act of bestiality, that animal is no longer fit to be brought as a karban. I feel like I could just say that without quoting any source, and you'll be like, yeah, I get it. An animal is just, you know, a disgusting act was acted with the animal, and I cannot use it as a karban. There are psukim that lend us to this conclusion. Rashi here on the tops quote the psukim, but okay, that's the halacha. Good. So the Braisa says, you can go to an Ovei Kochavim, you can buy an animal, and you don't have to worry about any of that. So the Gemara says, Bishlam, let's see the Gemara. Bishlam, Muksa v'nevad, imisa da'akstaya, v'imisa da'pachaya, lohava mazbenlay. Look, if it was set aside as a avodah zarah, there's no way, you know, that he wouldn't sell it to you. Meaning the whole idea, if it's a avodah zarah, is he wants to offer the animal to the avodah zarah. By virtue of the fact that he sold it to you, is a very clear indication that it's not a avodah zarah, nor did he set aside for a avodah zarah. Obviously. Ela rova v'nir v'lachash. But in our Mishnah, we just got introduced to the idea that all you need to do is put an animal in front of them, and they're gonna have relations with the animal. So you don't think if they're selling you one of their animals that they're gonna have relations with that animal? Why shouldn't that be on the radar of things that you should be worried about? All right, fair question. Amar Rav Tachlifa, Amar Rav Shila, Bar Avina, Mishmei Derav, Ovei Kochavim Chas Al Behemto Shelo Te'akir. So the Gemara gives us a biological reality that is an animal that was an act was bestiality was committed with that animal. The animal will get sterilized, and so consequently, so he knows. Look, as much as I have a desire for this animal to have relations with the animal, but not with my own animal, because then that'll sterilize it. And
business is business.
Yeah, exactly. It's absolutely correct. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's a great explanation for the female animals, but you buy a male animal, let's say you want to bring a carbonola. Okay, carbonola can only come from a male animal, and so now you want to bring a male animal. What inhibition would there be for him not to sleep with his animal? So Michael Amemar, I'm Rav Kahana, Hol Machishim Bebasar. So the Gemara says it weakens the animal. Okay, so he'd be inhibited because having relations with his own animal, again, bad for business. Same basic idea. So that would inhibit him. Elahad Tanya Lochim Behema Meroa Shalahem. So the Gemara says you can even buy it from a shepherd. Lechus Dilma Rav Allah Roah Shalahen. So I'm sorry, Rav Allah. So the Gemara is, again, same question. Why are we worried that the shepherd, it's not his animals? So what's to inhibit him? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. Roa shalahem yarei mishum hefzeit schar. What's going to inhibit him is, again, same thing, bad for business. He gets caught with an animal, right? He's not worried. It's so funny. He's not worried about the embarrassment. He's not worried about the splash it'll make. He's going to worry about the fact that he's just not going to get paid. And bad for business, and again, that's what's going to inhibit him. And so consequently, with that fear now in place, you can go buy an animal from the shepherd, because you know the shepherd will stop himself. So the Gemara says, so right, and we have a Braisa that says, you can't give your animal to an Ovei Kochavim shepherd, why don't we make the same argument? It's bad for business. He'll control himself. So the Gemara says, look, a non-Jew to another non-Jew, they know each other, they know how each other behave, right? Right, but if it's my animal, if it's a Jew's animal, we're not in that world of Mishka Behema. It's we don't speak that. So for them, like, they're not as afraid by us because it's not our language. Right. For them, they totally understand each other. Amar Rava Hainadam Inshe, Rava says, this is a good expression, it's a hard expression to translate, but Michtava Galala Baza, the stone will be cut by the knife, right? Right. Rashi Michtav Karishikar and Garpaya, Vishal Barzu Karever, Shemitza Galal. Shayish klamer hashayishu kasha yarei min hamichtav lefishu makir bo, right? The stone is afraid of the knife because the knife is going to cut it. And sorry, in part two, ragla bechavre yada, and ragla says Rashi is here the same word as rachil. If you look at Rashi and Chumash, right, the Torah says lo selech rachil ba'amecha. So if you look at Rashi on the Parsha, Rashi says, you know what the word rachil means? It means the same thing as meragel, right? A ragil, someone who tattles. Right? The meraglim, I know it sounds funny, but that's what they were. They were in a good way, right? Spy, right? Espionage. So meragel, merachel, it's the same, the cognate of one another. Ragla b'chavre yada. If you tell Lashon Hara, you're worried, you concern yourself with all the other people who speak Lashon Hara as well. Because you speak their language, right? You speak Lashon Hara, you're much more sensitive to other people who speak Lashon Hara, and you know to be careful about those people, because that's what you do. But if you're naive and you're innocent, and you don't speak Lashon Hara, you don't know how to be cautious about other people speaking Lashon Hara, because you don't speak their language. So the Gemara says it's the same thing we hear. Right? When it comes to one non-Jew to another non-Jew, they all speak Mishkav Behema. So they all know to be careful about one another. I'm not giving my animal to him, right? Or I'm not sleeping with this animal because I know that he thinks I'm Mishkav Behema. But when it's a Jew to a non-Jew, he doesn't have that kind of fear because he thinks, oh, the Jew, he doesn't, he wouldn't know. What does he know from Mishkav Behema? He doesn't do that. So the Gemara says, okay, Zecharim Minikevos, right? Can't buy. We're like at the height of depravity over here. It's crazy. You can't buy a male animal from a female owner, right? Lo Nizban Dechayshin Adilma Marvalei. Because, look, what were our concerns? It'll sterilize the animal, that's only by female. It'll weaken, that's only if the man sodomizes the animal. But here, it's the other direction. It's a male animal on a female idolatress. So the Gemara says there's nothing that would inhibit her, so you can't buy such an animal. So the Gemara says, Dilma marvale ilava, kevin de migraba. So the Gemara says again, same thing over there. The ears mirsus, there's also for her that fear, that inhibition, because she wants to rent it out. So the Gemara says there are two halachas that were said over by Rav Yosef. Number one, if you're a widow, you shouldn't buy a dog. You shouldn't have a dog as a pet. And if you are a male dog, huh?
Yeah, this last year.
Yeah, and it, yes. And if you are a widow, you shouldn't bring in a student, a boarder, Talmud Chacham, into your house, because you know he's a Talmud Chacham and he's learning Torah, and that's all good. But temptation is temptation, and you shouldn't do that. So Bishlama Barbe Rav Tzniale. So the Gemara says, look, by Barbe Rav Tzniale, right? Look, I understand that because. In other words, he'll commit an indiscretion with her, and he'll know how to be discreet about it. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. I understand why Rav Yosef says that really she should not put herself in the position to begin with. I get that. Ela kalba kevin de migra ba mirsasa. So the Gemara says, but when it comes to the dog, right? In other words, she doesn't want to get caught with the dog. It's to her, it's embarrassing. It's humiliating. And the dog will cling to her if she does in fact have relations with the dog, and she doesn't want that. Right? And so the Gemara is saying, so why is Rav Yosef worried isn't the embarrassment that she's prepared to suffer, isn't that of an enough of an inhibitor to basically get her not to have relations with a dog? So the Gemara says, no. Kim dechisha jolayum se umisr chabasra meima amri inchi haide misr chabasra mishum umsa deka misrach. So the Gemara says, to get a dog to cling to you, that's not a big deal. All you have to do is give him a piece of meat. Right? Umsa, piece of meat. Give the animal, give the dog a piece of meat, and all of a sudden he becomes your best friend. So look, the dog may cling to her, and no one will say, oh, it's because she's creating an, I'm sorry, behaving in a totally inappropriate way. People will just simply say, she's feeding the dog, that's all. The kevos eats on the kevos, my time lo miyach dinan. So the Gemara says, okay, there's one other permutation left, which we have to explain. What about stabling my female animal with a female stable owner? Which seems to be okay, right? There is no physical way that they can have Mishkav Behema. So
she has friends.
So what's the issue? Amar Marufa Barchama Mimnesha of the Kuchav Mitsuim Etzon Neshe Chavem Upamim Shena Motzi Motzaa Umotza Esa Behema Virova. So yeah. Okay. Yeah, I feel the same way. So okay, let's just go on. Fine. The by Zema Afila Motza Nami Rova. That doesn't get much better. Right, both. His, you know, his the girl, the animal, both. Okay. All right. The Amar Mar, you're right. Amar Mar Chaviv Aleim, Chaviv Aleim Behemtum She Yisrael Yoser Minishos Seim. The Amar Rav Yochanan Bishash Shabanachas Chava. The moment that the snake tank came to Chava, he told about Zuama. He plays Zuama to her. There was no good English translation for the word Zuama. I guess for lack of better terminology, Yetzahara. Right. So inserted the Yetzahara into Chava, and so therefore, these type of discussions that we're having, which are so awkward and so uncomfortable, and really we're at the height of depravity over here, and the Gemara says the explanation is because of the Nachash applying the Zuama into Chava. So Yahachi saw Nami. So the Gemara says, so you know, aside from the fact that it's Isser Minatorah, but we don't behave that way. In other words, it's our framework is not constructed like that at all. So the Gemara explains, Yisrael Sham Dol Har Sinai Pasku Zuamasam. Of the Kocham Shalom Dol Har Sinai Lo Pasku Zuamasam. So, okay, so the Gemara says, look, by us, we had Har Sinai. And the Har Sinai experience mitigated the Zuama. But the Ovdi Kochavim didn't have Har Sinai experience. And so therefore, their Zuama is as powerful as it was at the first application from the Nachash into Chava. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow we'll continue from the bottom of the Amud. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha amar tzukat rotzak shvach lezak yisof yicha chir b'mtar mitzvah shenema necha feitzim atziko yagdil to Rabbi Adir.